Lying here, suffering, day after day, slip disc, painful. What am I supposed to learn from this? A devotee, or even any philosophical person, should think, what can I learn from this? Specifically, a devotee thinks, what is Krishna teaching me? Because devotee comes under Krishna's shelter. Mahatma nastu mang partha daiving prakshema. Devotee is under the shelter of Krishna's internal potency, his spiritual potency, sheltered by Krishna, because he's accepted that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we understand that whatever happens is Krishna is doing for my benefit. How he interacts with me is for my benefit. What is he teaching me? Well, it's not a difficult thing to understand that we suffer because we cause others to suffer, or we cause suffering. It's bad karma. What in English would be called bad luck is properly understood to be bad karma. It's not just some arbitrary thing that the universe is against me, or just there's no reason whatsoever. There's a reason. We have done wrong, we have caused suffering, maybe many lives ago, maybe in this life I'm getting some, or the reaction may be the compounded reaction of things I did in various lifetimes. But anyway, the general point is that we are suffering because we've done something wrong, and punishment from God, but it is meant to be a didactic punishment, meant to teach us. So we may say, well, or we may think that, well, if someone's dedicated their life to God, then why should he suffer at all? I mean, if someone's doing very wrong and sinful, then you can understand that they would suffer. But then why is someone who's supposed to be living a good life in the shelter of God, then why would God inflict punishment on those who are trying their best to serve him? And we do have statements in Vedic Shastra, such as from Sri Brahma Sanghita, Yastvindra Gopamata Vindra Mahoswa Kara Bandhana Rupa Pala Bhajana Mata Noti Karmani Nirdahati Kintu Chapakti Bhajam Govindavadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Lord Brahma worships Govinda, stating, the original Supreme Person Govinda, stating that this Govinda, Krishna, he gives everyone the result of their activities. And thus, some living beings are placed in a very high position within the universe, as Indra, for instance, the king of the gods, or as another living being is called Indra, the Indra Gopa, a tiny little insect. So that's an example of good karma. A result of good karma is to be born as Indra. And a result of bad karma is to be born as an insignificant little insect. So Krishna ordains that through the laws of karma. But one who has surrendered to Krishna in devotional and worships him in devotional service, Lord Brahma says, is released from all such karmic reactions. And Krishna himself very directly and clearly says in Bhagavad Gita, what is considered in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, the Charam Shlok. Charam means the last or the ultimate. So it's the ultimate teaching, the last teaching. Sarva dhamman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja ahantva sarva papebhyo moksha yashami mashuchah. Krishna says, he's telling Arjuna that giving up all other concepts of dharma, of what is right and wrong, remember that karma, good karma, bad karma, leads to good actions, lead to good results, and bad karma leads to bad results. But Krishna says, giving up all such ideas of how I can be happy in this world by acting well, certainly give up sinful life, but even the idea of let me enjoy in this world by doing good activities and I'll get good results. So giving up all such ideas, savadhaman parityaja, just take shelter in me only, Krishna says. And then Krishna says, if you do that, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. And he says, do not fear. Krishna is certainly competent to do so. Now he may say, well, then if someone has done that and they're dedicating their life to Krishna, then, just like me, why I'm supposed to be dedicated to Krishna, why am I suffering? Well, I can say in my own case, I'm not a devotee, I'm just a sham of a devotee. But then there are others who are genuine devotees who are apparently suffering from physical difficulties, financial difficulties, legal difficulties. There are so many kinds of difficulties in this world. One consideration is that if Krishna was to immediately remove all the results of all karmic reactions from someone who surrendered to him, then the body in which the devotee is presently situated would die. So as soon as anyone comes to Krishna consciousness, they die, because the body is a vessel of it's a vessel that is Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridyeshe juna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantrarudhani mayaya. It's a certain vessel that we get ordained by Krishna for fulfilling our karmic reactions and making new karma. So when one stops doing that, then he's delivered from sinful reactions. But if one is immediately delivered from what's called technically prarabdha karma, or that one's presently ongoing karmas, then the body would drop dead and there'd be no one else to tell you to tell others to practice Krishna consciousness, and then no one would ever take to Krishna consciousness and no one would ever get liberated. So it's required that some people stay in the world to preach Krishna consciousness. So a devotee may have as long as the body continues, there will be at least some semblance of enjoying the results of previously done good actions and suffering the results of previously committed sinful acts. But a devotee, when he gets some, having surrendered to Krishna, when a devotee gets in a situation where things are going well, he doesn't get bewildered by that. Na prashrishet priyam prapya nodvijet cha prapya cha priyam. Thank you. A devotee doesn't become bewildered thinking, oh great, now I can, oh it's wonderful, everything's going great. He doesn't get elated. He thinks, well, I'm in this situation, Krishna put me in this situation, how can I serve Krishna best in this situation? And he doesn't become disturbed in a situation which is not very desirable. Just like the situation I'm in now, I wouldn't desire it for anyone, but people will get it. Devotee is supposed to think that, or actually, if one's actually a devotee, he thinks that, well, Krishna put me in this situation. How can I best serve Krishna in this situation? He's aloof from the pleasures and pains of this world. And if someone's in a suffering, a devotee's in a suffering situation, he thinks, actually, I deserve much worse. I've done so many bad things in so many bad lifetimes, So I deserve much worse. And Krishna's just giving me a little token. A little token of the suffering. I deserve much worse. But Krishna's just giving me a little token. And that's also like a lesson to remind me that in case I get any ideas of enjoying this material world, it's just a lesson to remind me that I shouldn't try to enjoy this material world. And also, a devotee, by remembering Krishna in difficulty, he also sets an example to the world that we shouldn't just worship God for everything that is very good, and then if things go wrong, then we blame God. At school, I remember singing a song where it said, "All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the good Lord made them all." That's true. But all things bad, ugly, undesirable, he also made them for a purpose. God made so many nice things for me to enjoy. If we think that's God's function, then when bad times come, we'll think, well, maybe God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you doing this to me? And then we lose our faith in God. However, if one remains steadfast in Krishna consciousness through all difficulties, then, as Lord Brahma also says, tattena kampan susamikshamano bhunjana evatma kritang vipapam vidvagvapubir vidatannamaste jivaita yo muktipade sadaya bhag. He says that someone who, although suffering in this world, thinks that anyway, I'm just getting what I deserve. But whatever the difficulties, let me go on serving Krishna with mind, body, and words. Such a person becomes eligible to go back to Godhead. He practically has a right to do so because of such an attitude of such complete surrender to Krishna. He doesn't blame God or anyone else. He thinks, well, whatever's coming is my fault, but anyway, let me go on worshipping Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there will be suffering. We may take to Krishna consciousness to get free from suffering. That's the four kinds of pious people approach Krishna, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvidha bhajante manjana sukrite norjana arto jignasu artharti gyani cha bharatar shabha. Krishna says to Arjuna that four kinds of pious people start to worship me. The first he mentions is someone who is distressed, suffering in this material world, and approaches God for relief. Please relieve me from this suffering. Artho Jigyasa, one who's has some philosophical interest to understand. Then there's someone who desires money, and the artha and the artharti, the two are often intertwined, the two kinds of attitudes. And one who at the outset thinks, well, I there is God and I should worship him. So the Gyani, this last mentioned one, is the best. And maybe the most common is someone who is distressed. So it's natural for a pious person to approach God in distress and please help me to relieve me from my suffering. But when one comes to a level of actual devotion, then he's ready to accept even suffering. And for such a devotee, because his pleasure is, yes, Tvatma Rati Reva Syad, he's becomes happy knowing that I am an eternal spiritual being, I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. And that's his, he becomes Atma Tripta, becomes fully satisfied within himself. And he knows he's not the body, So even though the bodily pain, he feels it, but he doesn't identify himself with it. It's not some mental adjustment as much as a level of spiritual realization. So a devotee, he takes that there's some suffering. I'm going through some suffering now. There are much worse things than having a slip disc. There's much worse slip discs than the one I have. But a devotee should think, this is Krishna's mercy on me, to teach me detachment. Krishna's so kind. He knows that if I'm fit and healthy, then I become more bodily conscious. So he's giving me a good reminder. And a good reminder that this body is getting old. I better get serious about Krishna consciousness, and so that I can not get reborn again and go to Krishna in this very lifetime. So what others see as bad karma, which is proper philosophical understanding, or others may see as bad luck, a devotee sees as good luck. Oh, Krishna's so kind. Krishna's so kind. He's giving this mercy to me. A devotee, whatever, where sukhe, dukhe, in happiness and distress, he sees it's all Krishna's mercy in different ways. He sees everything as Krishna's mercy. And in that way, a devotee transcends good karma and bad karma. He just sees whatever Krishna gives, it's Krishna's arrangement to help me to come closer to him. And in this way, he transcends the concepts of enjoying or suffering in this material world and feels happy on a different platform. Happiness is on the platform of the body and the mind. Distress is on the platform of the body and the mind. For one who transcends that, knowing that I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, then he's happy always in serving Krishna. As Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur describes about his own transcendental, blissful Krishna consciousness, Atmanivedan, Tua Pade Kare, Hoinu Paramashuki, Dukkha Dure Gelo. Dukkha Dure Gelo Chodikaya Ananda Dekhi. He says that since praying to Krishna, that since I have surrendered myself completely to you at your lotus feet, I've become happy on the highest level. Dukkha Dure, all my distresses are gone. Chintana Rahilo, no more anxieties. And everywhere I look, I see in all directions, simply happiness. So what's better, to have a fit, strong body, be praised by others, be popular, have plenty of money, and not be Krishna conscious, or be in terrible difficulties and call out to Krishna? Well, a devotee would say, Kita Janma, again Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Kita Janma Hao Jata Tuadas, Vahimokka Brahma Janme Nahimora Arsh. He says, I would rather be born as an insignificant insect if somehow in that situation I can remember you and serve you, praying to Krishna. But birth as a Brahma who's inimical to Krishna, which actually doesn't happen, but it's because one has to be very pious to be a Brahma, the head of the universe. But if I have that topmost opulent position in the whole universe, but I'm inimical to you, I don't want such a position. Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches us in this way. And therefore, we also learn, Joto deko Vaishnava bebohara duk nischoy jane hotaha paranandashuk. If we see a Vaishnav And we see it looks like he's suffering and unhappy, but no, one should know that for sure, one should be know for sure there's no question of Vaishnava being unhappy in any situation. He's always in the highest platform of bliss. Now, that's superb, we may think, but I'm not on that level. What do I do? I am suffering in so many ways. It's hard to come to that level. But that's the whole point, that we should hear about such things and try to mold our consciousness like that, because we are going to go through some. And like I say, this physical suffering, it's not nearly as bad as the suffering of being rejected by emotional suffering, rejected by others, humiliated. It can be very, very hard to take that. Even physical suffering is very, very hard to take. But trauma of the trauma of seeing pain, of having of the physical. If someone inflicts pain on us, it physically hurts. But the pain of trying to adjust to the fact, why would someone do that to me? So if we can become detached from all that and rise to the platform of Krishna consciousness, at least by discussing this we can understand it philosophically, and then we can start to at least make a beginning of implementing it in our lives, understanding that what seems to be bad karma or bad luck in a devotee's life, he should know. Actually, it's true for everyone, but especially a devotee. Bad karma means good luck. Bad luck means good luck. Everything's good for a devotee. Another consideration can be mentioned here is that in the case of those who accept disciples, they also have to take some karmic reactions for their disciples' wrong activities, particularly if they disobey the orders of the spiritual master after taking initiation. At one point, Srila Prabhupada, the very powerful guru, but he himself, of course, Krishna can absolve him from Krishna. There's no question of Srila Prabhupada suffering sinful reactions, but he's beyond any such thing. He's a very powerful transcendentalist. But at one time he was what we properly call enacting the pastime of sickness, once appearing to be very, very sick. And he said that this was caused because his leading disciples were not following the regulated principles. So that gave a great shock to his disciples, that they should obey what he says. And the pain that, I'm causing pain to Srila Prabhupada, that should shock them into doing as he desires, with the faith that what he desires for me is beneficial for me. That's why we accept a guru. So, Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. That's really it. We can get into various explanations of the intricacies of how that is. And these explanations are also very valuable to help us to make our faith strong, and also to help us to see Krishna in our lives at every step. So along with chanting Hare Krishna, we also learn from the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam and the acharyas what it means to be happy in Krishna consciousness. The happiness of Krishna consciousness is completely distinct from any mundane happiness. It's on a different platform. The platform is one of submission, surrender to Krishna, with full faith that Krishna is my protector, Krishna is my maintainer, Krishna, whatever he does is best for me. Hare Krishna.